With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
This program may contain content not suitable for everyone. Discretion advised.
January 30th, 1939. During a 2.5-hour speech, German dictator Adolf Hitler tells a crowd of thousands that if another world war were to break out, he predicted the annihilation of the Jewish race in Europe. 8 months later, Germany invaded Poland. And World War II began. Hitler continued his genocide of the Jews.
Inside Germany itself, the Allies seized the famous Stadium of Nuremberg.
On May 8, 1945, the war in Europe ended.
The capture of this famous southern German city, the American flag blouts out the swastika.
After the dust settled, it was estimated that more than 6 million Jews died in the Holocaust. But what didn't die was anti-Semitism. In fact, it flourished throughout history. And today, almost 80 years later, anti-Semitism has evolved and become even more dangerous, largely due to technology.
If Adolf Hitler had an Instagram account, the Holocaust would have happened a lot quicker because the public would have been convinced a lot sooner.
For the next 2 hours, we speak with those who have experienced anti-Semitism. We also talk to historians, law enforcement, activists, and rabbis. This is the KFI News special, Hate, Modern Anti-Semitism. I'm Steve Gregory. The internet and social media have allowed tens of thousands to mask their identities, to sit in silence typing hateful words, inciting others to commit violence, all from the safety and security of their private residence, office, or smartphone.
USA! 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 USA!
And then there are those who gladly display their hate online for everyone to see and hear.
You think you should be put in an oven?
Are you Jewish? Oh my God. Leave our country, go back to Israel.
This guy's recognized as having one of the most powerful and lucrative white supremacist followings on the internet. He travels around the country to confront Jewish people.
You dirty Jew! You!
But the anti-Semitism isn't exclusive to these types. It's become more mainstream over the years. This is an exchange between a reporter and White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
It was announced earlier today that the rapper formerly known as Kanye West wants to buy the conservative social media platform Parler, And this comes after he was kicked off of Twitter and Instagram last week for his own set of anti-Semitic comments. Is the White House or the president concerned?
What I can speak to is hateful rhetoric. What I can speak to is insulting rhetoric. What I can speak to is anti-Semitism, which is hateful. It is dangerous.
Even self-proclaimed religious leaders weigh in. This is the head of the Nation of Islam, Louis Farrakhan.
And I'm here to separate the good Jews from the satanic Jews. Yes, yes, yes!
During the numerous interviews conducted for this special, a common theme was evident. The reason anti-Semitism continues to grow is the lack of education about the past and the dangers of hate. A breakdown of curriculums around the country shows 19 states require high schools to teach their students about the Holocaust, while 31 states do not. In a recent poll by the American Jewish Committee, 41% of Jews say the status of Jews in America is less secure than a year ago. That's up from 31% in 2021. And going back to the technology piece, 85% of Jews from 18 to 29 years old have seen or were the target of anti-Semitism online at least once in 2022. Our journey begins with Rabbi Abraham Cooper at the Simon Wiesenthal Center.
I'm the Associate Dean and Director of Global Social Action for the Simon Wiesenthal Center, our international headquarters of this leading Jewish NGO is right here in Los Angeles, California. I also serve as Vice Chair of the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom.
Rabbi Cooper breaks down their annual report on digital terrorism and hate, where they give a letter grade to media companies and individuals.
We take about 750 to 1,000 examples of what transpired in the previous year. It's kind of a snapshot of the lowlights, if you will, and also, I wouldn't say predictive, but also identifying some of the players who behind, whether it's a lurid conspiracy that goes after minorities or whatever it might be. So we have that. And then we have the big companies. We grade on how they deal with these issues. In addition to that, there are very often new platforms that, frankly, I never heard of, but our researchers have, that, for example, TikTok came early, whatever it might be, they're also going to be in the mix. What we found quite remarkably is that a lot of the companies were very sensitive about the grades they got. I remember one time I was in the early years of Twitter, at their headquarters in San Francisco, with about 15 of their top executives. A few of them were lawyers. And one of them came over and said, you know, Rabbi, I noticed that last year you gave us an F on the report card. And do you think that grade might change? And I said, well, you know, to be perfectly honest, if there was a grade lower than F, that's what I would give to Twitter. Because in those years, Twitter was the weapon of choice of terrorists. And it wasn't until you had congressional hearings at the height of ISIS power where someone says, well, in the month of October, on average, there were 200,000 tweets sent out by ISIS on a daily basis. And it wasn't until Jack Dorsey's life was threatened by the terrorists that they suddenly, might say, found religion and things, you know, changed a little bit. And here we are in 2023 still grappling with Twitter. We've been in touch with Elon Musk. We still think that jury's out. We need a change of culture that's going to include a systemic, serious look and dealing with maybe the most difficult thing, drawing the line on hate and actually holding people and institutions accountable for it. So we've approached Musk directly probably now about 2 months ago on behalf of 180 Jewish organizations around the world. And so far, the results are mixed. We're still looking for the systemic approach, but I also would just caution the listeners, because everybody in America seems to have chosen up sides. You're either left or right, you're progressive or conservative. We don't look at it that way. We're trying to play it right down the middle. And, you know, I've never understood how Twitter could allow a murderous thug like the Ayatollah Khomeini, who's crushing the human dignity and human rights of his own people in Iran, so many hundreds of individuals murdered, tens of thousands in jail, the women who've tried to change the reality there. He's still up on Twitter as we speak. And for all of those years that we urged, begged, cajoled, threatened, whatever it might be, they just never made a move. And so you have this situation where in the old regime, they took down the president of the United States and they left Khomeini up. So maybe, you know, maybe Trump deserved what he got. But we know one thing, the most powerful marketing platform is there for a government that is officially a Holocaust denier, that is talking, that's a, you know, wants to genocide the Jewish state and threatens existential threat to every one of the countries in the Gulf. So there's never been a consistency. And now we have a situation, again, I think primarily because of COVID, in which everyone is now in the social media basket. That's where all the action is at. And the companies are happy about the traffic. We need them to also be good citizens.
More with Rabbi Cooper. But first, this is Hate, Modern Anti-Semitism on KFI AM 640.
You're listening to John Kobelch on demand from KFI AM 640.
KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. I'm Steve Gregory, and this is the KFI News special, Hate, Modern Anti-Semitism. Rabbi Michael Barclay is the founder of Temple Ner Simcha in Westlake Village, California, just north of Los Angeles. It's a small and modest temple in the middle of a sleepy town, and it still attracts hate. And one of its targets is Rabbi Barclay and his family.
So Westlake Village is an upper middle class to upper class financially, that kind of area. It is a suburb of Los Angeles. When we first moved here, I looked at a friend and I said, this looks like all the houses in the TV show Weeds. Mm-hmm. And he goes, well, this is where they shot it. So it's really the epitome of a suburb in many, many ways. It was a pre-planned community. In terms of the power lines aren't above ground, they're below ground, so it's very green and very beautiful. Lake Sherwood, which is one of the most beautiful areas in all of California, is here, and the Lake Sherwood Development and Sherwood Country Club and Sherwood Lakes Club, which is two amazing golf courses, Westlake Island, things like that. Interestingly, and we're close to the west part of the San Fernando Valley, as well as we're not far from Simi Valley and close to Thousand Oaks. I would say probably over a third of the people who come to our community for whether it's a service or a festival or a class actually are traveling from the west side of Los Angeles. They've, for whatever different reasons, and there's different reasons for each of them, they resonate to what we do and how we do it, and they come out here for the high holidays or for services or classes, et cetera.
Is this a safe area? Would you categorize it as a safe area?
In terms of
crime and assaults and those kinds of things?
Oh, yeah. No, this is the suburbs. This is, when I lived in Westchester and was teaching at Loyola Marymount, this is a very different area. You know, this is not an area where typically you have gangs walking around or a lot of crime, at least that we know of typically. It's an area, you know, one of the jokes that we make is I'm a person of color here because it is a very classic suburban area for better and for worse. And it's a very safe area. You know, instead of living in Westchester by Loyola, which is a great area as well, we live across from a park that has three baseball fields and beach volleyball and tennis courts. And it's very green and a wonderful place to have a family and to raise a family and to be safe in that way. Typically, that's what it's always been.
That said, you know, attacks against synagogues, hate crimes against Jewish people are on the rise everywhere. Have you been immune to that in this safe area, the safe suburb of yours?
The exact opposite. No, we have not been immune at all, and I have not been immune to it in any way, shape, or form.
In this area, though?
In this area. I get regular hate mail. I get regular threats. We have armed security at every event we do. Either if it's a large event, we will hire security firms that are showing their firearms on the outside. So it's a deterrent as well. But every event we have, every gathering we have, there is at least one person with a concealed carry who's trained in that, handling security for the event. At least one. And that's everything we do. And it's a sad statement, but it's what's needed. And as I said, my house has been vandalized 4 times. Most recently, we put up video cameras, and we actually have video of some guys in hoods throwing an M80 at our house.
Guys in hoods, as in hoodies or?
Hoodies.
Hoodies, okay. So
that Antifa look.
Throwing M80s at your house?
Yes.
Any words spoken? Any words, painted on your walls? I mean, do you know what they're doing there?
They know we're the Jewish. They know it's the home of the Jewish leader. We also do temple events occasionally at our center, at our home. In this case, the last case with the M80, there's a holiday in Judaism called Sukkot, and you build a temporary structure and you have parties in it and you dwell in it. And we build the community sukkah in our backyard. Because I say we don't own this temple property, so we don't have the property to build a sukkah. And we have, over the course of the 7 nights, each night we have anywhere from 30 to 150 people in our backyard under the sukkah doing all of that. This was on a Friday night when we'd had a Sukkot gathering. We had armed security right outside the house. There was no way that you could get in the side gate without seeing a guy with a firearm. The event had ended. We had closed everything up, turned off the lights, less than 10 minutes after the lights were turned out and the security guy had left. My family and I were upstairs when we hear this explosion like I've never heard in my life, because thank God I was not in a war. And this car screeching off, and we look at the video, and it's some people who had parked in front of our house, gotten out of the car, thrown the M80, gotten back in the car and screeched off. It's really sad.
Do you believe it's people or it's individuals that are from this suburb, or do you think they're outsiders?
I think they're from this suburb.
Really?
Yeah. I think people who are doing the actions are from this area, whether directly from Westlake or whether they're from Agoura, Thousand Oaks, or somewhere in the San Fernando Valley or Simi Valley. I think people aren't schlepping. They're not driving an hour to come after our house or our community. They're people who are local in whatever way.
It's interesting because we talk to law enforcement professionals, and they keep eyes on these hate cells and these anti-Semitic cells, and they're getting their marching orders from groups out of Illinois, Northern California, Orange County, California. And they dispatch these cells to go to all these different communities, small and large. That's why I asked the question, because unless you have evidence of it being someone local, you think, or at least in the region or the area. But I do know that there are groups that are from out of town that are coming in to wreak havoc and to do this for whatever, whatever their motive or whatever their takeaway is, but they're coming from out of town.
I don't think that's, if I judge it based on the hate mail that we've gotten, it's not coming from people.
Tell us about the hate mail.
So as an example, before High Holidays, we advertised in the two local papers. One is called The Acorn, one is called The Guardian. And The Guardian is owned by people who are politically conservative. Many of their advertisers and their take on the news is politically conservative. The Acorn, on the other side, is on the liberal. And we advertise them both, because I could care less what someone's politics are. That's not my job, my personal politics. I'm active politically on a personal level. I do not ever, ever, ever speak politics from the pulpit, with the exception of I will always back up Israel, no matter what they do, and I will call out anti-Semites out. This is an example. We advertise in The Guardian, and then there is a blogger who has a couple thousand followers, who is very far on the left, who then says we need to stop all these people who are advertising The Guardian. That's on a Friday night. It comes out Friday. That's on Friday night. Saturday morning on her website is, tell us their address and we'll take care of it. Hashtag Conejo Antifa. And you can find his address. My address is not hard to find out. And Saturday night at 1 o'clock in the morning, our dog starts barking. I look out and there's a car across the street. There's a park. There's no reason for a car to have pulled up with two people. And they're just sitting there. And they're sitting there for about 5 minutes. And I turn on the light and they screech off. And an hour later, again, the exact same thing. And this time I call the police and I come out and they screech off again. Same car, same people. They'd come back to be right across from our house. And that was the genesis of that action, of that kind of stalking, which I don't consider vandalism because they didn't get away with anything because we saw them, came from a blogger and website that is peopled with Jews, spewing hate about our synagogue, etc. Because we had advertised in The Guardian.
Are you finding, Rabbi, that the hatred toward Jews comes and goes in waves, or do you think it's pretty consistent?
I think it's an understanding of the history of anti-Semitism, which is really a virus that mutates. It's a hate that mutates.
You can hear the complete interview with Rabbi Barclay on the companion podcast to this program. Just download it on the iHeartRadio app. Coming up, a clinical psychologist does hate crime risk assessment for Los Angeles County. But first, this is the KFI News special, Hate, Modern Anti-Semitism, on KFI AM 640.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.com.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. I'm Steve Gregory, and this is the KFI News special, Hate, Modern Anti-Semitism.
This program may contain content not suitable for everyone. Discretion advised.
For every hate group that exists, there's a law enforcement agency keeping an eye on it. Some infiltrate the groups, others work behind the scenes to help find those cells motivated by hate. Dr. Matthew Schumacher is a clinical and operational psychologist with the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department's Major Crimes Bureau. He also researches radicalization and threat assessment. He begins with his view of extremism in Southern California.
The data
absolutely tells us that it's a big problem. Hate in particular, as opposed to radicalization or extremist ideology, is a local problem, right? So it happens on the block, on the street, in the neighborhood. I think that we're much, much more interested and much more aware that this is out there as a result of George Floyd and some of the elements of the Asian American community and the kind of China flu stuff. We're right. aware, and people right. have felt much more comfortable speaking out about the bigotry and bias that they're exposed to. And as a result, we're asking a lot more, right? We're asking those questions, and we're having it reported to us, which is one of the biggest advantages and new things that we have going on. So on the one hand, we're going to see numbers go up because we're asking the question, we're asking it to be reported. But I don't think there's an expert in the United States right now that doesn't think we're on at a high point upward slope, you know what I mean? Perhaps not unlike other times we've had, you know, racial and ethnic and cultural conflict in America, but we're definitely at a high point. And the real question, though, is how does that look to the person on the street that's experiencing it? And how does that play out in our own response of fear? These groups that they're mostly looking to have outsized influence, which is one element of, say, terrorism and influence. But what they're trying to do is scare people. And so it doesn't matter how many people get hurt, even if they were to do a violent attack. It matters how many people are watching. One of the problems with our media cycle and with the internet is that everybody gets to see it, right? And so their influence as far as people being aware of these hate-based ideologies in these groups is very dramatically enhanced. And all you have to do, most of these are following like the Al-Qaeda, ISIS playbook, right? They're recruiting online, they're talking online, they're disseminating their bilge and hate online, and most of it is not illegal.
You said that groups like the GDL and other groups, local groups like this, they don't scare you. What groups scare you?
The groups that scare me, and I mean, this is another element of our community in LA, are the ones like the very old and very prominent right-wing militant groups out of Orange County. We have some of that, as far as I can tell, up in the northern part of LA County. but these folks travel now, right? So Charlottesville was one of the first eye-opening things. These guys are not anymore just saying, hey, you know, Santa Monica Pier, right? Or some sort of rally in Long Beach. They're not even your kind of white supremacist type gangs that do the concerts out in the Inland Empire, right? These are folks that are going to travel to where the action is, to where they can have the most influence. And that would be Charlottesville, or that would be the Unite the Right rally, or that would be, you know. But all of this is very highly choreographed. It is very much intended to scare us, and it works, which is part of the problem.
You know, you have an impressive background with military intelligence. You have security clearances of some of the highest levels. You served overseas. You've seen a lot of action as both a veteran, military veteran, and a psychologist. But when you're back here in the States, and then, you know, you're kind of down here in Southern California, is there the same intensity with extremism in Southern California that you've experienced overseas, or that you've experienced on a national, federal level or assignment that way?
I mean, it's an interesting question because, as you noted, I mean, I've been to Somalia, I've been to multiple different places in Afghanistan and even Iraq and Kurdistan, right? And most of those places where they're actually an armed conflict, they sort of organize around the ideology. But what's underneath it is either crime, you know, profit or power, right? They're like kind of a little local tribal skirmishes, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So whatever ideology they wrap it up in at the time is, you know, potentially not relevant or not as relevant as it is here, where it's very much identity politics, right? It's we are like, let's say, White Lives Matter, right? This is very local. This is to counter the influence of Black Lives Matter, and it's a conflict of ideas. That makes sense. Just like, you know, GDL is sort of saying that, you know, all the bad stereotypical stuff about the Jewish community, they're trying to get their disinformation and their hate stuff out to counter the influence of another group that has a different kind of influence done a different way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the violence itself, I would say in LA, at least as far as the everyday stuff, if I looked at probably 90% or more of the hate incidents and hate crimes in LA, it's probably more like get off my lawn. You know what I mean? It's like somebody that's got brown skin moved next to somebody with black skin or white skin, or and they're stepping on each other's toes. You know what I mean? Someone's had too much to drink. Someone's homeless. Someone's in my way. We had the more flamboyant incidents where someone goes out of their way to target somebody. You know, you see those on TV. Somebody breaks into a mosque. Somebody breaks into a temple, right? Those are pretty rare. What's not at all rare is, you know, somebody uses the N-word and gets in a fight with somebody, right? So the more targeted, what we would call predatory violence, which is what should scare us, is not super common. The more reactive stuff that, you know, like is kind of bread and butter for patrol cops, you know, someone's having a fight, someone's got mental illness, someone's on drugs or intoxicated, it just adds that extra element for folks that can make it either traumatic or frightening, right? Which is that they don't like, I mean, they hate who I am, right? Or at least that's the way it appears when these things happen.
You can hear the complete interview with Dr. Schumacher on the companion podcast to this program. Just download it on the iHeartRadio app. Coming up, a principal at a Jewish day school talks about educating kids while surrounded by armed guards. But first, this is the KFI News special, Hate, Modern Antisemitism, on KFI AM 640.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. This is the KFI News special, Hate, Modern Antisemitism. I'm Steve Gregory. A school principal bears a lot of responsibility and pressure to keep students and staff safe. But imagine running a school where the first thing you see when you drop off your kids is an armed security guard at a checkpoint. Brandon Cohen is the head of school at Browerman Elementary, which is part of the Wilshire Boulevard Temple in West Los Angeles. One of the challenges Cohen and his staff face is how to address attacks on Jewish communities locally and around the world. And when do his elementary students get introduced to the Holocaust?
We're careful about how we introduce that. What we really try to do is equip our families with information on how they can talk to their students. And then in the early grades, we generally do not talk to the students about it. And starting in fourth, fifth, and sixth, we will talk to them about it. But many times we allow sort of the students to drive, like if they're aware of it or not, because each family wants to handle these situations differently, and we like to respect that. But we do have a curriculum about anti-Semitism that doesn't start till fourth grade.
Fourth grade. And how active are the parents in that curriculum?
They're not a part of the curriculum, and that's intentional. We want to, you know, obviously...
But they eventually... do they have to sign off on that because of the sensitivity and the nature of it?
I I think as a Jewish day school, families, I think in most cases, they want to have their children exposed to these issues in a thoughtful, intentional, deliberate way, which is what we do. So that being said, you know, whenever we have a piece of literature that may have, you know, violence in them or, you know, touch on things like the Holocaust, we let them know ahead of time. And there have been situations where parents have opted their children out of those pieces, and we give them something, you know, alternative piece of work. But generally speaking, I think this is what our families want, you know, their children to learn and to build their understanding of what's happened. And for our families, it helps them build their Jewish identity as they move on to secondary school. And, you know, they're getting exposed to more and more. So this is like a way of doing it in a very scaffolded, intentional way.
Then when they go on to secondary school, do these students usually go on to more of a continue on with a Jewish-centric school?
Actually, it's usually only about 20 to 25% of our graduating class go on to continue with a Jewish day school education. The other 75 or 80% go into secular, mostly independent private schools. So that's, to me, part of the importance of what we do here is that they're building that foundation. building some pride in their Jewish identity and understanding of the Jewish heritage as they go into these other secular schools.
You're in such a unique position because you know you're helping to develop these young minds. When they get to that sixth grade level, and you say you've incrementally introduced the more, you know, horrific parts of the reality of the past and the present.
That's right.
Do you, if you were to sort of encapsulate the definition of hate for the kids on this campus, what do you think they think hate is?
You know, I think terms like that are interpreted differently by different people, but I think, you know, hate is not this is not a word that necessarily I would use with an elementary age student, but it's antipathy toward a group or an individual based on their identity, which can be religious, you know, as Jews, but it could be race, ethnicity, heritage, or anything else. So, you know, maybe that's a little above an elementary age.
But when they get to that sixth grade level, do you think they have, those sixth graders have, based on that scaffolding approach you talked about, do you think by the time they hit the sixth grade, they have a pretty clear understanding of how hate exists, what it is, and do you think you've prepared them for the next step of their life?
So, unfortunately, I do think that they do have a good understanding of hate. Maybe it's not unfortunate, like it's part of the world we live in, so they need to understand that. But I will tell you something, as someone who grew up in Los Angeles and I think and like I said before, have two children of my own, there's no doubt that the students today have a better understanding of that hate is real and in our community than I think when I was growing up. And we know it, our families, Browerman families, had the flyers, the anti-Semitic flyers that were put on driveways several weeks ago. We have families who drove under the banners that were under the 405 freeway that were anti-Semitic in nature. We know that, unfortunately, at such a young age now, but kids are on social media and they know what Ye is saying in social media, or Kyrie Irving has said, you know, posted. And so they understand that as Jewish kids, that there are people out there who hate them. And so they have to grow up with that reality. And I'll be really honest, I'm a grandchild of two Holocaust survivors. I think when I was their age, I thought the world had changed, that we were in a different place. And they are not able to feel that way because it's not true and that we are in a different place. But I could also say with great confidence that our students are moving on to their secondary schools with a very strong sense of who they are and to be upstanders, and that they have to voice their feelings when these kinds of things come up, that it's not okay, that they are not going to be okay with it. And it's not okay not just for them, but when others are being treated in that way. And that's an important piece of it. We don't want our students just leaving only focused on the fact that, you know, if someone hates Jews, that it has to be addressed. It's when there's hatred against other people based on whoever they are, that's not okay. And so, you know, and we do actually know that our students are going to some of these other schools in both their secondary schools, but even we're hearing about it in college, and they're taking on leadership roles and making sure these issues are being talked about in schools, in the high schools and in the colleges where they're going.
You can hear the complete interview with Brandon Cohen. Just download the companion podcast to this program on the iHeartRadio app. Coming up, we speak with a man who was just appointed to the President's Holocaust Memorial Council. But first, this is the KFI News special, Hate, Modern Anti-Semitism, on KFI AM 640. Time now for a news update.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Hold up.
Tired of restless nights? At Lisa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.